Good morning, Lagos. This is Dr. Weba Boor on Power Solutions on 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info. And today we are going to be talking with a special guest who came in all the way from Abuja to be with us today. So this is Jim Howlett. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Pan African Solar, which is a solar company operating primarily in northern Nigeria, in some of the places that many of our listeners have never visited. And so this is a Bature who's penetrated deep into the rural areas of northern Nigeria, and is making a huge impact. So Jim, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks very much for having me here. It's a real pleasure to be here. Looking forward to it.
All right. So let's start, Jim, with, you know, I know you actually recently got into solar when you came to Nigeria.
Yeah.
But you have a long history. You've worked in Indonesia, Afghanistan, all sorts of exotic places around the world. Tell us your story. How did you, you know, you're British. How did you end up in those places, and then what brought you to Nigeria?
Okay, so I'll try not to spend too much time on this, but so for me, I have an older brother, quite a bit older than me, and he worked overseas. So I had this idea that I wanted to work overseas. He worked in the oil business. I wasn't okay. really interested in working in the oil business, to be honest. I was interested in working in development. So I went to university, I did my master's degree, sort of environmental science based courses, and then started work for a consulting company in the UK that was looking in agriculture, rural development, kind of institutional development type of work with organizations like DFID, Asian Development okay. Bank, World Bank, this kind of organization, mm-hmm. but basically based in the... So the company had a global reach, but mm-hmm. I wanted to work in the Africa department, but right. they didn't have an opening, so they gave me a job in Southeast Asia.
Okay.
So
that's a stepping stone.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah. yeah. So and I'll come back to the Africa, why that was important, obviously, because I'm here now. Anyway, so I worked for them for a few years. I then got asked by an engineering company, actually, that was doing kind of water resources irrigation to go out to Indonesia, went out to Indonesia with them. I spent about 5 years there, spent a year in Thailand, 5 years in Singapore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I left them and I was offered a consultancy opportunity in Afghanistan.
Lovely place.
Yeah, it was interesting, with the Asian Development Bank.
Okay.
To help them with, they had a $300 million portfolio in the environment, natural resources and agriculture sector. So. And they needed some help with, as you can imagine, there's some unique challenges in mm-hmm. Afghanistan
right.
in terms of getting, you know, moving projects forward. And so I did that for a couple of years, went back to the UK, and then mm-hmm. an old friend who owns Pan Africa Solar,
okay.
He contacted me and asked me if I'd come out to Nigeria to help him with renewable energy. So I was very interested, one, because I'd wanted to work in Africa for a long time, and this was an opportunity, and second, you know, renewable energy is a really interesting space to be in at the moment. So,
right.
so yeah. I kind of, like, you know, I leapt at the opportunity, yeah. and here I am.
Yeah. And so, all those years in Asia, did you visit Africa at all? Had you been here, or you kind of put Africa behind you at that point?
No, I spent quite a bit of time in South Africa,
okay.
and had a wonderful safari in Botswana in
okay.
2000. But
okay.
that was
other than that.
That
okay.
was pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay. And was it, I mean, what you, the work you did in Asia, I mean, I assume some of the principles from there are relevant here in terms of how you built the markets, how you ran programs.
Yeah, so it was a bit different because it was a development consultancy mm-hmm. business, but there was a lot of project management, project delivery. So I think there's transferable skills, particularly in project management coordination. I also had some, I did quite a lot of work with business development, marketing, okay. communication, so... I guess I'm a bit of a generalist, but I've taken different things from the different roles I've had, and then they've all come in very useful in Nigeria so far.
Right. Okay. And so now you met your friend Marcus, who said, "Okay, let's go to northern Nigeria."
Well, he was already here in Nigeria. He'd been trying to develop a utility scale solar project for a number of years, and
okay.
he needed an extra pair of hands.
Okay.
To help him out with that, so I came. I came at the beginning of 2016.
Okay. And was it supposed to be a short-term thing, or did you know you were going to still be here 3-4 years later?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay.
I suppose if you'd have asked me in January 2016 how long you'd be in Nigeria, I'd probably said, well, maybe a year, maybe.
But
here we, you know, here I still am. Still lots of, you know, you're doing some good work, and there's plenty of interesting things going on here.
Right. But so let's talk about that utility-scale solar project. So it's one of the 14 IPPs.
Yeah,
that
I think
licensed. But
yeah.
Where was your project? How far did it get? Where is it now?
So the project is in Katsina.
Okay.
So I've spent a bit of time in Katsina, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Where's the project now? So where did it get to? So we got it to credit approval with the major European DFI.
Oh wow. Okay.
And then it hit some challenges, which has kind of impacted its progress.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some progress being made. And let's see with the new administration whether we can, whether or not that will move forward a bit further.
Right. Okay. Because I know there was a lot of hope on those projects, and
sure.
So hopefully they'll move forward. But now your project in particular in Katsina.
Yeah.
Out of that came the business you're actually doing now. So maybe tell us that story, how, you know, you guys were there in Katsina and then thought, okay, how are we going to serve the local population, which led to what you're doing now. So maybe if you can talk about that transition.
Sure. So, I mean, one of the things about, you know, so you, if you're looking at a utility scale project, so the Katsina project is, you know, it's like 200 hectares of land.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not near anything
other
than a transmission line.
Right.
But there are some communities around that. There's 3 or 4 communities, if I remember correctly, around that. So the question was asked of us by our donors or by our lenders.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to, you know, how are you going to help these communities? Because this, you're going to generate electricity and it's going to go straight into the grid. How are they going to benefit from that? And
right.
So, you know, it's a reasonable question, right? So they encourage us to look at, through our, because every project like that has to have a corporate social responsibility program, right?
Right.
So we looked at maybe providing mini-grids, or we looked at providing solar home systems.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the process of doing that research that we kind of... So we settled on solar home systems, and then from that we kind of realized, well, actually there's a business opportunity here.
Okay.
And there were some things that happened in Nigeria about the same time. So this is kind of late 2016, early 2017. Or late 2016, actually. There was a UK government funded program here called the Solar Nigeria program,
mm-hmm.
who were kind of unusually, I think, for DFID, they were looking actually to encourage private sector players to get into the solar home system business. Could DFID help sort of develop a private sector market for solar home systems?
Mm-hmm.
So we applied for some grant money. They gave us a little bit of grant money, and that grant money helped us to buy some units, helped us to establish our first shop, which is on the outskirts of Kano.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of got some customers, you know, we dealt with the issues of payment and collections, mm-hmm. and, you know, who should be a customer for this kind of product that we're offering. And so, you know, and that just sort of took not really a life of its own, but there was enough encouragement, so we did that, and then they gave us a bit more money, and then they gave us a bit more money, and then by the time we'd spent that money, we'd had quite a decent footprint, so we were able to attract some more external finance that really helped us to expand the business further, which in turn has helped us to attract some additional external finance, so we can expand the business further again.
Right. So in the meantime, while you're waiting on the utility scale solar project to take off, you've now built an entirely other business almost by accident.
Yeah, we're sort of exactly.
So now you partnered with Bbox, which is a British company, but I believe they were operating in East Africa. How come? Why did you pick them as a partner as opposed to all the other options?
So, like I said, we looked at a number of different options. I think because Bbox are based in London,
mm-hmm.
Pan Africa Solar has an office in London. We met with the staff. We kind of liked what they were doing. They've got a big market in Kenya, Rwanda. They're also, you know, they're looking, I mean, they've expanded also to Pakistan, Togo, Cameroon, they're looking. Anyway, so it just seemed to be a good fit. It's a good, robust product. It's been designed for the rural market.
Mm-hmm.
They are willing to provide lots of, you know, close managerial support. So, it's, right. Yeah, it's good.
Right. So now, a lot of the solar home system companies that now came into Nigeria very quickly pivoted from rural to urban.
Yeah.
And now, basically, most of their marketing is actually to urban customers.
Yeah.
But now, you guys have actually stayed true to that rural origin.
We have.
And you're focusing on communities that are not only beyond the grid, but they're like beyond the grid. They're, as they would say in Trinidad, behind God's back. Deeply rural communities.
Okay.
So what was the reason for that choice, and does it seem like it's working?
So I think it's, here it's called rural.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah, deeply rural.
Rural. So I think it's really about going through that learning process of understanding what your product is. Mm-hmm. Of course, when we first got here, we kind of thought that, okay, the B-Box product, because it's a 50-watt unit.
Right.
And we had this kind of discussion outside earlier with Daniel, wasn't it? We had the same sort of discussion. So I suppose with a 50-watt unit, if you're an urban or a peri-urban customer, what problem does it solve?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really solve a problem, because you can't plug any of your own appliances into it. So
right.
So when we first started, it was, you know, we weren't getting much traction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when we thought about, okay, so what is this product actually designed for? It's designed for rural people in East Africa, basically. So people that are spending money on their energy needs, that they might have candles, or they're using dry cell batteries, or, you know, things like that.
Right.
Right? So then the 50-watt unit solves a problem, because it says, okay, right. Now you no longer have to take your mobile phone to a kiosk to charge it. You can charge it in your home using a solar home system. You no longer have to go and buy candles, because we can have lights, right? So I think it's just about marrying up what your product is with your market. And what you have to remember in Nigeria, I mean, there's a market everywhere, right?
Right.
So you've really got to be focused in on what you can solve. And
right.
I think, and like you said, I mean, it's a massive market, right? If you could provide peri-urban customers with like an off-the-shelf solar home system that could power their appliances, you know, that's a problem that needs to be solved. But right now there's also a big problem in the rural areas, right, where people are buying candles, torch batteries, charging phones in kiosks.
Right. So now, tell us the profile of the kind of village that you guys operate in, and how you find them.
So the kind of business model that we operate is kind of a cluster shop model, right?
Okay.
So we set up a retail hub.
Okay.
And
it's your own retail hub. You own it, and it only sells your product.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we have like a shop manager. You have technicians based there. You have a what we call a retail supervisor, and then. And then, so what we do then, you go around the markets in the rural areas around where that retail hub is,
mm-hmm.
and you drum up some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now we've done this for 2 years, we kind of have a good idea of kind of the customers that we're looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of know which questions to ask them now, and who's going to make a good customer for us. And so then they go through that process of you know, through market stormings, basically, market activations, market stormings. And then we do a bit of an assessment on the customer, and then a technician will go to his house, his area, and then he'll install the products.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they pay a deposit?
So I think we've got a bit of a unique business model here, because it's a rental, it's kind of like a rental model, right, basically.
Okay.
You know, some people now call this a next generation utility,
okay.
which sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Right.
But I mean, so like a utility company where you pay a monthly bill.
Right.
This is the same kind of thing we do. So customers pay a monthly fee,
mm-hmm.
and then a small installation fee up front.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said you've learned how to identify the right kind of customers.
Yeah.
So what is your ideal customer? How do you tell this? Is it based on what they spend on cell phones or...
Yeah, exactly.
Or what? I mean,
exactly.
So,
asking questions like how much they spend on cell phone charging, what's the size of their household.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you can imagine in northern Nigeria, right, the households are pretty large.
Right.
If they're farmers or traders, what do they trade with? Mm-hmm. You know, even things like what's the material that their roof's made out of,
okay.
all these kind of things to give us kind of a profile of, okay, is this guy going to be able to, or lady, because these are some, women-only households that have our product too. you know, what kind of are these guys going to be able to be customers going forward?
Right. Okay, so now you've done that upfront work. You put up the kiosk. And these communities, I mean, these aren't places where there would be, say, an Airtel shop or MTN shop, right? This is the only branded shop in the community, typically, or?
Well, we have, so the retail hubs we have basically in kind of the, in cities or on the outskirts of cities.
But we don't
really have shops kind of based in in a rural community. Okay. But what we do have is we have commissioned sales agents that are based there.
Okay.
And so they...
And they're from the community?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So now, so you started in Kano.
Yeah.
What's the name of the village?
So the retail hub is, you know, I'm a bit wary of my pronunciation.
Yeah, it's no problem.
Is Dawanu.
Okay.
Is where we started the magic is Dawanu.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's opposite. There's a massive groundnut market there. It's like an internet. Someone told me it's like the biggest groundnut market in West Africa or something.
So it's right.
So if you get to the groundnut market, you're not far away from our from our first shop. And then the next one so that's kind of in the northwest of Kano, and then the second shop we opened is on the southeast in a place called Mariri.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then from Kano, you've now gone to I think what 5 other states in the north.
Yeah. So we're also now in Kaduna, in Jigawa, in Katsina and Zamfara.
Okay.
And we've recently opened, we've recently moved into the south of Nigeria to Delta.
To Delta State. Okay.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
All right, that's another story.
But yeah.
Let's talk about the north. So, I mean, some of these states you're talking about, Zamfara, Katsina.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most of our listeners have never gone there, know very little about it. And I think people in the south generally don't know much about the north. So what are the customers up like there? And have you had any issues with building your business up there?
No, not really. We haven't. I'd say customers, on the whole, have been very good.
Okay.
Been very good. And again, it's because, you know, I think once that they get the product, they understand the value of the product very quickly.
Right. Okay.
I mean, this thing works.
Yeah.
I've got basically 24/7 supply because it's solar panels and a battery.
Right.
I don't have to go to the kiosk now to charge my mobile phone.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, so there's a convenience to it. There's a we try to provide very good customer service, so we try to kind of differentiate ourselves that way. So yeah, there's so far it's been good. I mean, we're attracting fine. People are willing to invest in the business. So you know, I mean that says a lot, right? Already.
Yeah. Definitely. So now you mentioned, you know, households, but I imagine you're also providing small businesses with this product.
Yeah.
How are you know, business owners or even households able to even use it to generate revenue?
Okay, so there's, you know, so I've had the opportunity to go up to the north quite a lot and visit some of our customers, and particularly and also take, you know, potential investors, DFID, you know, these kind of people have wanted to go up there and talk to our customers. So I think there's two stories that I often tell. The first one is about a shoemaker.
Okay.
Who I've visited. He has quite a powerful generator, you can imagine, to run his machines to make his shoes. But he uses that generator also for light.
Okay.
So our solar home system can't power his machines, but it can power his light.
Right.
So one of the best stories he's given us is that as a result of him using our product, he's able to save 20,000 naira a month.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, on fuel costs.
Okay.
Which is not an insignificant amount of money. I think that's equivalent to $500-$600 a year, right?
Right.
And so you think, so now I wonder, like, so what happens to that $500-$600? Where does it go? Does it go on school fees?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. So, you know, he's not the only one. And then another guy I visited, he had his own kind of a spare part shop. So, again, he just, you know, it's dark, he needs light. So before he was running a generator.
Right.
So now he's not running a generator. He's using our system. And again, he's making, you know, thousands of naira savings a month. And I think he then opened another shop across the street. So
okay. And he's still using your product?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now he's using two of our products.
Two of them. Okay.
Yeah.
But what about households? I mean, I imagine some of these are communities that are off-grid. There's basically when the sun goes down, the lights are out.
Yeah.
So what changes have you seen in households, in just daily living?
So I remember talking to one guy who was a teacher up in a village outside of Kano, and I asked him, so, you know, what do you like about having the product? And he's like, oh, I show all my neighbors
Yeah.
My neighbors are very interested in this in this product, so it sort of has a sort of brings a sort of a certain status to it.
A cachet. Yeah.
Cachet. Okay. Good word.
Good word. Yeah. But now in these villages that you've targeted, I mean, are there now clusters of customers that enough that the village itself is sort of changing, or is that a longer term process?
I think that might be a longer term process, but I think that of course something like that does make a difference, because like I'm saying, I mean, there's, you know, people have that convenience, are able to save a bit of money. So but I mean, it'd be interesting to see how it continues to have an effect on these kind of villages and communities, the rural areas. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna have to go to the phone lines. So Yvonne, can you share the numbers, please?
On 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right. So while we're waiting for calls, let's continue the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. So now you've gone from, you know, you're in Zamfara, you're in Jigawa, you're in all these places in the north. Now you've moved to the south. Where are you looking beyond that?
So that's a good question. Like I mentioned, we've now been able to attract some additional finance, so we're now looking at where we can expand, and we need to do some further work on that about really where we go. I mean, obviously we've got a number of options. We can move further into the northwest.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be looking at places like Sokoto, Kebbi.
Mm-hmm.
We can look moving south to from Kaduna southward. So you're only looking around Abuja, so
Plateau State,
maybe Nasarawara, the Great State of Plateau.
Okay, hold on. We have a call. Let's go to the phones. All right. Good morning. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. What's your name, please?
Good morning. I'm Willie Godwin.
All right, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lekki.
Lekki. Okay, so what is your question this morning?
Please, I want to know the name of the company and the appliances the products can carry.
Okay. All right. Jim, go ahead.
Okay, so good morning. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your question. So the name of the company is Pass Solar, so that's PASSOLAR. You can find out more about us on passolar.com. The product is really engineered for rural customers, so it's what we call a plug-and-play system. It's a 50-watt solar panel, so it can't really carry, if you have your own electrical appliances, it can't really carry like a TV or a fan at this stage. But what it can do is we bring in lights, so it can power LED lights, it can charge phones. We also provide packages which include radio, torch, and a small TV. But it's difficult to, you know, at this stage to provide AC products.
Right. Okay, so let's go to the next call. Hello, good morning. Please turn your radio down. All right, what's your name?
Hello.
Yes, hello, go ahead.
Well,
please turn your radio down. All right, go ahead. What's your name, please?
I'm Engineer George.
Okay, Engineer George, where are you calling from this morning?
Well, I'm calling from Abuja.
Okay. Again, please turn your radio down so that we can hear you.
Okay.
All right. Oh, and then we lost the call. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's go back once again. So it's PASSolar.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah.
You're also on Twitter.
We are. Yeah.
And it's PASSolar. Same thing.
PASS_solar.
Okay. And they're actually very active on Twitter, and you can learn a lot about where they are, what they're doing, the product, etc.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think it's very clear. It's a rural product.
Yeah.
And it's only available in those parts of Nigeria where you actually have shops, right?
Yeah, at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So Yvonne tells me we only have a few more minutes.
Okay.
So I guess just a quick thing, you know, what can we expect in the next couple of years? You know, you have this 50-watt system, you're already in, you know, 7 states, you're growing all over Nigeria. Where is it going from here?
So the additional finance will help us to expand in other areas. I think the other thing that we're also now exploring quite seriously is, you know, like I said before, I mean, it's a huge market, right? Mm-hmm. You've got people who are going to, the 50 watt unit is kind of ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also there's millions of Nigerians that a smaller unit is ideal.
Right.
And there's millions of Nigerians that a larger unit is ideal.
Right.
So now that we've got a footprint, and we've got infrastructure in place, and we've demonstrated our ability to collect payments to attract finance. You know, can we offer a smaller system? Can we offer a larger system?
Mm-hmm.
How big should that smaller system be or larger system be? And then I think that, you know, and then as we expand nationally over the next few years. So yeah, I think it's really exciting. I mean, I think one of the great things about the off-grid space in Nigeria at the moment is, you know, the government are really committed behind it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of support.
Right.
You know, a lot of focus from the government on off-grid. All the development agencies have their own programs.
Right.
And they're looking at the entire value chain of the off-grid space and where they can provide support. So, you know, there's a lot of help
mm-hmm.
and support that are being provided to Nigeria to deal with this problem. Because I think it's the second largest, if not the largest, off-grid market in the world.
Right. Yep.
Huge okay. amount of opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. So we have the opportunity, we have the technology, the business models, and the enabling environment. So everything is ready to make this take off.
Well, okay, there are some challenges with the enabling environment, but what I mean is that people are trying to do something about mm-hmm. to make that enabling environment better.
Right.
And there are a few issues around cost of importation and clearance of products when they come in,
mm-hmm.
but people are looking at, you know, can we assemble these products here in Nigeria? Mm-hmm. Can we make products here in Nigeria? There's issues around payments and collections, but there's a lot of work being done on mobile money. I don't think it's not going to be the same as in East Africa, mm-hmm. where people can use credit maybe to buy, but
right.
but there'll be an agent model, you know, that works for Nigeria. So, you know, I think that enabling environment is getting I was speaking to a guy last week who's with a new GIFID program called Africa Clean Energy,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be working with kind of on the policy side more, and also with the off-grid associations to sort mm-hmm. to build their capacity so they can become a more effective lobbying group. So I think, like I said, wherever there's an issue, there's someone trying to work out how to fix it.
Right. So it's good news. We have people like Jim and his company providing power to currently thousands of Nigerians, and soon
yeah.
we hope millions of Nigerians.
Let's hope so, yeah.
We also look forward to when you come down to this part of Nigeria. I'm sure lots of people will love your product.
Right.
But good luck. Thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for coming down to share these stories with us.
Yeah.
And as you go back to the north, you know, continue to roll this out and bring light to Nigeria.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's been great.
All right. So Lagos, over and out. It's been great talking to you this week. We look forward to another great show next week.
Nice Life with Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.